Welcome back to part two, guys, of Gwen's episodes. That's what I'm going to call it because she is running the show and calling the shots right now. She's smiling very playfully here with me. It's almost like a talk show with two friends. We're co-hosting this episode. even if you don't believe it, it's real. Okay, so I would be very, very surprised, I have to say, if she was not a mum, because what she was just talking to me about was that she really loved it. She loved looking after the kids. She said the kids, whether they're her kids or her sister's kids or somebody's kids, it's just, I really love looking after the kids. I love getting them the treats and their snacks, and she's smiling when they smile and they're excited. I think she was a good mum or a good nurturer. She was also cautioning me early. Oh, yeah. Listen to part one and it will explain everything. Okay, she's being very direct with me. I think she's enjoying being able to speak. And 111 on the clock. For those who understand, that's an angel number. Okay, so she's saying, and she's, I can feel it, to be mindful of listening only to the media. Well, she's saying, don't listen to the media who sensationalize it and make it sound, and she's going like, ooh, with her fingers, like, and her face, like, ooh, it's a spectacle and it's tantalizing and this tidbit of information. She's like, don't get sucked in. Don't get sucked in, these bastards. I'd be surprised if that's not her favorite word, second favorite word, and second word she said all the time. She's saying a lot, and that's very, that's okay. It's very Aussie, if not like maybe Scottish or something. It's very Aussie. It's very, very Australian. Okay. She's saying, listen to the ones who give you the facts, who are factual. And I think that's a message for her family as well. Not to get caught up in the whirlwind of like this juicy morsel, but it's so insignificant. Like you may as well throw it out the window. You know how they say, oh, new evidence, a new fact. It's like, it's quite insignificant. But she said, she's not saying all evidence is going to be. She's just like, just be mindful of not getting sucked into that trap of, oh, you know, they make a bigger deal out of nothing. Like they, oh, we are talking to this person who is involved and knew Gwen when she was 2 years old and knew her for 2 seconds. It's like, it's irrelevant, inappropriate, she's saying. These are her words. She said it's blown up into something that she never thought possible. She's like, when I was in physical, nobody gave a shit, and now it's everywhere. She says, interesting that, isn't it? How people give more of a shit after after you go. She's been quite funny now. She's saying like, she feels like a celebrity. You know how a musician, how when a musician tends to pass, their songs sell out after they're gone. She's like, it feels like that. She feels like a rock star. Okay, Quinn. She's going, let's get down to it. She's patting my knee. Let's get down to brass tacks. Did her or somebody else work outside of the house? Because she's saying, coming home from work. I'm seeing it as her, but it may not be her. She's just like coming home from somewhere else, coming home. She said he put a gun to my head. He took a gun, these were her words, took a gun, put it to my head, and then he pulled the trigger. And she's like, it was bam, bam, bam. Like, it was quick succession. She's saying it wasn't even like he was not tormented in any way about umming and ahhing. It wasn't like, oh, should I not? There was no, like, it's like the dialogue was done. The dialogue was done. He just did it. Like, there was a huge lead up to this point, but the moment of what happened to her, he didn't, like, hold her. I feel like this person didn't hold it to her head, and then they talked for another half hour. I feel like it was just almost execution style. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm feeling for her. Like, this is what she's showing me. She said, didn't even give me a chance. Didn't even give her a chance to plead. And she's saying, she's drawing the comparison between this person getting a chance to plead when she didn't get a chance to plead or, like, plead for herself at all. Like, she said she pleaded many a time, but this particular time, it was done and dusted over. She's got the keys in her left hand. Or keys with, like, an orange thing on it. Something. It looks like a bunch of keys. It could be... smoke. Like cigarettes. But she's got something in her hand, like she was getting ready to get out of there. Did they find something in her hand when she was discovered? Or, like, something in between her fingers? Could be a ring. No, it's not a ring, but she's also now talking about a ring. I don't know, maybe one of her rings is gone. Let's see. So I can get some clarity. She's saying that he might have taken a ring off her finger. Or she took it off. Maybe she took it off. Or maybe this is symbolic. It's not a literal ring. I feel like it's literal, but it's like something to symbolize the commitment's gone. And she's sort of scoffing at commitment. She's like, yeah, right. She's sort of being lighthearted and a bit glib about commitment to pulling the trigger. But not to her. She's looking in the back seat. So she's sitting on the right hand side. That's the Aussie driver's window, but she's showing me the right hand side. Behind the wheel. This is what I'm seeing anyway. And she's looking back at she's got bags packed. Or like a suitcase or something in the back left seat. She says, is there anything else you want to talk about? And she said, let's get through it. So, she's talking maybe about leaving her babies or leaving, like, if she had kids and they were there, that she was like, it was safer for her to get gone. Like, he wasn't, like, she was the target, not the children, if there were children there. She said it wasn't a pretty sight when the deed had been done. She said it wasn't pretty for her, like, she's talking about her beautiful face, like, or like her parents would have talked about it. She's saying it wasn't so pretty after. But that he was a little bit fascinated. He was a little bit, like, exhilarated, the adrenaline pumping. Now, I see this car sitting in the driveway, but I haven't asked where the car was. It's just what I'm seeing. It's in a, it doesn't appear to be on the road yet. Which is confusing in a way, because that's the case, surely they would have suspected her partner. Maybe not. Okay. Now remember, I haven't seen any facts in this case. I haven't. She's saying he left her there. Like she's saying I was like left there. She was left there for a while. And I don't think there was any care taken to check on her, make sure she was okay. It's like none of that. It was like just discarded with her belongings. He might have gone through some of her stuff maybe and taken what he needed or taken something and shut the door. The back door, but she's saying it was quiet. Like, now I'm seeing the car somewhere else. Did he move the car? If they didn't look at the boyfriend or the partner, I'm not accusing anybody or anything, but if they didn't, I'd be very surprised. Because it seems so obvious that he would be someone, like, in all cases, worth looking at. She's saying she should have got him first. She's saying she wishes she did. But in spirit, remember, I mean, it's not about vengeance, it's not about regrets, and it's all love. But it's almost like, you know, so interesting. People are raised, especially, you know, children, women, raised not to make a fuss, raised to follow the rules and not upset people. And when we do that, we take away their power. This feels like her speaking. And so a lot of people, women who are stuck in those situations, feel like they can't kill to protect themselves, or they can't do anything about it because they're going to get in trouble. You know, they want to stay with the children, or they want to stay free, but they're like, what are the repercussions? And she's like, all the time that these women are thinking, what can I do to get out of it, this other person is just completely like, I'm just going to do it. She's sort of drawing a comparison between the two thought processes. The masculine in this situation that I'm describing, that she's describing, sorry, that she went through, it was like, bam, get it over with it. It's kind of like a cockiness. It's kind of like an arrogance. I'm going to get away with it. I know I am. I'm just going to get away with it. And even if I have to, I'll just play the, you know, I'll just twist it so it suits me. I'll just play her off as being neurotic or like nuts or crazy. Or maybe she was abusive, like twisting her story. But for her, it's like, I don't think she even thought it was possible that she could get away with. It's two very different types of people. She didn't even consider it. She wasn't that type of person. She would have protected herself as best as she could, but it just, she said she got. But what she is talking about is how we can help other people get safely out of situations like this. She's talking about raising people's vibration so they become more loving and these situations are avoided. And she's talking about the way we raise our children to be free, to speak freely, to not be afraid to ask for help and speak up. She said, it's too much of this children be quiet thing. She's saying, no. Because she was loving, you know, lovingly raised, but to the point where it was like, you know, children are seen and not heard. Well, what did that teach her as she grew up? To just take it. She's sort of talking about how she was raised in a certain way, or she grew up with certain beliefs about women and men, and it just enabled her to be treated that way. And she's like, enough about that. She's saying enough. She doesn't want anyone ever to be in her situation. Especially, she's like, oh my God, especially not children. She's crossed her legs. I don't know. She must have had lovely legs. I know my mum did. She's making me think of my mum. Oh, mum does. Sorry, my mum does. Mum, your legs are still lovely. She's saying that my mum is very lovely. Okay, anything else you'd like to talk about, Gwen? Anything else you'd like to get out there, love? She just wants her family to know that she loves them. She knows that they love her and that she's still around. She's still in on the conversation. She's still, these kids that she's talking about, she's still with them. She's with the people that love her simultaneously, everywhere, all at once. And she doesn't want anyone to think that she's gone. You know, like people say in her memorials or like her birthday celebrations or something, since she's, people saying so many years since she's been gone, she's like, guys, I'm not gone. Dudes, I'm not gone. I'm still here. Whatever her term for dudes would be. I'm still here. She's got her arms around her family, her siblings and her mum at the time, or a sibling and a mum. What's that kind of vibe? A sister friend. with the beautiful hair. And she's like, I'm still here. I'm still here. And she's saying she's grateful that she's peaceful. She's saying, I finally found my peace. She's saying it's a little ironic how she got it. It's not how she would have chosen it, but you know, she's saying to me, she's saying to get the bad taste out of your mouth. Like, let's not just keep talking about it. She's saying, let's move on to happier things. I think she's done, guys. So round of applause for Gwen. Thank you, Gwen, for stopping by. And I appreciate you encouraging me to record this. And hopefully somewhere along the line, your family will hear it. Someone will believe it and appreciate your message. But either way, if it's not through this podcast, it's maybe through their dreams, you'll see them. And so they're going to get their message either way. And she knows that. All right, guys. Send me an email to straightspirit1@gmail.com. This is all alleged. No accusations made. Nothing whatsoever. Legally, I am not responsible. All right, guys. I love you. All my best.